fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Prince Nestor sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Uganda's Commonwealth and World Championship winner Joshua Cheptegei says he was devastated upon hearing news of the postponement of the Tokyo Olympics to next year due to the coronavirus pandemic. However, the 10-kilometer and 15-kilometer world record breaker currently training at home says he hasn't given up hope of winning an Olympic gold medal. Reporter Mugume Davis Rokarinji reports from Kampala, Uganda.
Cheptegei says he was devastated hearing that the World Olympics were postponed to next year. Yet, the 10 kilometers world record breaker is optimistic he will win big come when the Olympics are eventually staged.
Of course, I was at my prime fitness level, and I just got to, you know, like adjust my mind and, of course, do the right thing and, of course, still keep on the momentum and the focus so that I can become the Olympic champion. I'm still really curious and I'm still really focused at getting the gold medal.
With people being restricted to stay at home as a measure to combat the spread of coronavirus in the country, Cheptegei knows he has to use the limited space and resources available to keep fit.
Most of the things I do, I can say like 60-70% of my time is on a treadmill. Then the other percentage, 20%, I'm of course doing a small jog around my home.
Cheptegei became the first Ugandan to win both the 5,000 and 10,000 meters races at the 2018 Australia Commonwealth Games and went on to win the 10,000 meters race at the Doha World Championship, earning a nomination for the Male World Athlete of the Year by the International Association of Athletics Federation, OIAF.
You know, as an athlete, when you want to maintain the level, you got to, you know, keep on grinding, keep on training, of course. Perhaps if you just sit down there and stay at home, and you'll get more fatter and fatter, and of course, to come back to your fitness level, you got to struggle a lot, and you don't know if you'll be safe, because when you are pushing a lot and you have not been training, you'll be getting more injuries into your body.
Paul Okello, a track coach and technical director at Uganda Athletics Federation, agrees.
Few I work with, I tell them to, around the home, they can do some power work. Now you can use your body weight to do some kind of gym, push-ups, sit-ups, and then, of course, if your area is not that bad, you can do some small 1 kilometer run and come back alone. You can now go in a group and just get yourself 1 or 2 kilometers, come back, stomach work, and just to keep the little that you have in the body.
And the golden boy, Joshua Cheptegei, has a message for both athletes and fans alike.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a double Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to all over the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries, because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinj in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume. I'm Prince Nestor, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I caught up with former Ghanaian long-distance runner in the 80s and 90s, Eric Adai, who's currently pursuing a doctoral degree at the University of Oregon. Eric shared his thoughts about the recently postponed Oregon World Athletics Championships, which have been rescheduled for July 15 to July 24, 2022. Could you please help us understand the significance of the World Athletics Championship to any athletes around the world?
The World Athletics Championship is a big deal, is a real deal, because it's at the pinnacle
of track and field all over the world. It's of supreme significance. It's a chance for national athletes to win laurels for their countries, for people to earn the bragging rights for being the best in their, whether they are jumpers, they are throwers, or they are spring runners. You know, if you shine very much at the World Championship, you get noticed and you get taken seriously and you earn the right to brag.
The postponement date in itself prevents a direct conflict between other major events. How do you personally feel about the postponement of the World Championships?
Well, I mean, it's a situation that we cannot help. But personally, I feel happily sad at the postponement. I feel happy that it's, you know, we have to shift it. And it's a great opportunity for athletes who were even ready this year, if we had it this year, to even get even more finely tuned for next year, because they have more time to prepare. And those that felt you know, a bit short in their preparations, it's also a chance for them to be given more time to for them to be able to prepare even better. So if you think you are at the top of your game, all you have to do now is to try to maintain your form, your shape. That is the tricky thing to do, to try to maintain your shape for a longer time, because there's a very small window when it comes to peak performance where you are able to get to your very peak and you are able to what, sustain or maintain your form for so long. So in that sense, I think that it's a dangerous opportunity, as the Chinese people will say. I'm sad because of the circumstances under which we've had to postpone this because of a global pandemic. And that's a very, you know, unfortunate thing that we've all had to deal with. But then there's a silver lining under every cloud. And the postponement presents the opportunity for us to even prepare better, to perform better, for national teams to actually have more time to prepare themselves so that we can have a bigger and more grand event next year.
What do you think this means for African athletes?
The emotions among athletes, and I try very much to put myself in their shoes. It presents feelings of disappointment because, you know, so much investment has been made in preparations. And just when athletes were almost ready for the competition, it had to be postponed in this sense. We've made a lot of investment. People have made a lot of investment. They've sacrificed time away from their loved ones and families and friends. They've spent a lot of money in camps all over the world to prepare for it. So the cancellation or the postponement in this sense is a bit of a disappointment. It also involves some disruption to the athletic plans and programs, you know, for this year. Already, many athletes have less opportunities to compete. And with this postponement, it means that you really have nothing to compete for the rest of this year. The biggest event this year has been shifted. So the rest of 2020 is pretty much done. For the athletes, I see it also as a loss of revenue. When you get called up for your national team to represent your nation at this championship, you earn some per diem, you earn some money, and you get a chance to even travel to a different part of the world that you may not have been to before. And all those things get lost because of this postponement.
Absolutely. With an estimated 50,000 daily visitors over the course of the 10-day meet, including 27,000 or so who would be inside the stadium, of what financial benefits do you think the World Championships would bring to the Eugene area and the United States as a whole? I mean, I'm saying this because you have been living in Eugene, Oregon for the last 4 years, and you're a resident here and you go to school at the University of Oregon, where the events are going to be held.
Such events traditionally attract sponsorship. You know, there's a lot of sponsorship by companies and other organizations that have some interests in it, be it, you know, athletic companies, be it the likes of Nike, Adidas, and all those people who those brands that sponsor the athletes and the teams. So it's a source of attraction. It's a magnet for the sponsorship. There are also some cultural benefits. You know, the city of Eugene and the state of Oregon generally has some historic places that people can see when they come here. We are talking about, you know, this is the home of Steve Prefontaine, one of the main idols when it comes to track and field.
Could you tell us a little bit more to the listener who doesn't know who Steve Prefontaine is?
You know, Steve Prefontaine was one of the top iconic middle and long distance runners. He was an American middle and long distance runners. At some stage in the mid 70s, for instance, he was reigning all the way from the 1,500 meters, the mile, 5,000, 10,000 meters. He was pretty, pretty strong. Unfortunately, he died very young in a car crash, you know, but we've tried to immortalize his memory by having various things named after him. For example, we have the pre-classic, when you hear of the one of the major IAF events, Diamond League events, called pre-classic, is named after him. When you come to Eugene, Oregon here, we have various things. There's a place called Priest Rock, where he crashed his car against a certain rock. There's a place where it's become like a shrine where people can go and see the place and pay some respect to him. There's a trail, a very nice, you know, running trail that has been established where you can go and run to practice to keep fit. So when you come to Eugene, Oregon, and generally the state of Oregon, one of the major things that will hit you is the culture of running, whether it's in the morning, afternoon, or in the evening. Eugene is AKA Track Town USA. It's like, in other words.
Yeah, because I know Eugene, you know, and for the listeners who are listening to us right now, the site of the iconic University of Oregon Track Stadium, the Hayward Field, from outside is jaw-dropping, in my opinion. It has been undergoing a two-year privately financed reconstruction, expected basically to make it the finest track-specific facility in the country. You happen to live just a few meters from the stadium. How can you describe the stadium to our listeners?
Wow, it's awesome. It's magical. Traditionally, in the Hayward Field, it's called the Historic Hayward Field. It holds so much history. And anybody who is somebody when it comes to track and field would love to have a piece of experience at the Hayward Field. It's a what is being done now. It started in June, July of 2018, and it's scheduled to be completed in June or July of 2020. It's going to be a world-class facility. It's actually an engineering masterpiece. The experience you get there, the design of the place, is nothing that, like, it doesn't compare to anything that you've seen anywhere else before. It's in a class of its own. And the noise is designed that the noise just reverberates and echoes in a very infectious manner within the stadium.
Incredible. I mean, thank you so much for the painting that magical image of the iconic Hayward Stadium. Incredible. And that's a nice way to actually end it. And thank you so much for joining me in studio. And as usual, we say, go Ghana, go Africa.
Go Africa. And let's Ghanaianize the whole spirit. And we'll say, oh, say Africa. Africa is going to take the whole world by storm come next year's World Championships. Ahoa!
And of course, we'll be right here in Eugene, Oregon, to bring you minute-by-minute update as the events unfold right here in Eugene, Oregon.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The French Grand Prix has become the latest Formula One race to be thrown into doubt after French President Emmanuel Macron said in a televised address to the nation the restrictions on public events would continue until mid-July. France's round of the F1 championship is said to be held later in June, but the move seems to make it impossible to hold an event that was attended by 135,000 people last year.
The race would be the 10th Grand Prix to be called off at the start of a season that has been laid waste by the coronavirus crisis. Formula One says it's considering all options as it looks for a way to reconfigure the season later this year. Motor racing is facing a serious financial shortfall as a result of the lack of racing, as all of its main revenue streams are under threat, including race hosting fees, broadcasting rights and sponsorship income. Only the Monaco Grand Prix has so far been cancelled for the year, while others have been postponed in the hope of finding alternative dates once racing can get underway.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out The Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOASunny for more details on sports activities taking place around the world. The address once again is facebook.com/VOASunny. During the coronavirus pandemic, people in Nigeria are exercising their bodies and their bravery during an enforced lockdown in the capital. VOA's Gwen Oten has details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Prince Nesta. The lockdown has forced vehicles off major highways in Abuja, but in place of cars, hundreds of people have turned the streets into an outdoor gym and are using the time of quarantine to get into shape. Akinyemi Busayo is one exercise enthusiast who has left the couch for some group exercise, and she says working out is as much about getting into shape as fighting off boredom.
Since the lockdown, we are just at home doing nothing, no work, no food, nothing. So we decided to come and exercise our body instead of us sitting at home and just getting fat.
And the desire to sweat shoulder to shoulder has trumped any governmental efforts to keep people apart. The lockdown has been enforced in three regions in Nigeria: Lagos, Ogun, the epicenter of the country's outbreak, and Abuja. Worldwide, the coronavirus has infected nearly 2 million people in over 200 countries and has killed more than 100,000. In Nigeria, over 300 cases have been confirmed and 10 people have died from the disease. The Nigerian government has ordered its citizens to isolate themselves and to stay indoors, except to get food, water, and medical supplies. However, student Agbula Sabanat says there is no isolation center near her, so the coronavirus poses no risk, and she sees no reason not to exercise, even against her mother's wishes.
For me, I believe it's not yet here in this my vicinity, so I don't know. But I'm sure it's not yet in this vicinity, because if it's here, they might build a isolation center. We have much land here. They might have built an isolation center for us here, for those who has it. So I'm sure it is not yet here. But we are still scared, though. Everybody's scared. Like my mom said, she's scared. She's like, I shouldn't go out for this workout. They said everybody should be at home. We should just keep cool and just stay at home. But I can't.
But for others, like businesswoman Favor Daniel, the coronavirus does pose a risk and precautions must be taken.
There's a risk of contacting it as we are here. But as a matter of fact, we are taking precaution. We are taking a social distance within ourselves. Then after the exercise, some of us have the sanitizer that we use to sanitize our hands after the whole exercise.
And Prince Nesta, I should mention that a growing body of studies say that while the use of hand sanitizer, along with social distancing, can be an effective way to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, they might not be enough where sports and exercise are concerned. I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the deadly coronavirus is spreading across Africa, causing anxiety and fear. Join me, Linor Moudou, and a panel of experts to answer your questions about COVID-19 and to distinguish myth from fact on a special edition of Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Italian Football Federation hopes that players can be tested for coronavirus at the start of May in preparation for the season to restart. Serie A has been suspended since 9th March because of the global pandemic, and there's no set date for when the campaign can resume in Italy, with 12 full rounds and 4 outstanding fixtures still to play. Italy has been one of the countries hardest hit by the coronavirus crisis, and players at a number of clubs have been infected. Juventus lead the Italian top flight, 1 point ahead of Lazio and 9 clear of third place Inter Milan. And staying in Italy, former Chelsea striker and manager Gianluca Vialli has been given the all clear from pancreatic cancer. The 55-year-old ex-Azzurri forward said in 2018 he had recovered from cancer before announcing last year that he was dealing with the disease again. As a player, he was at Cremonese and Sampdoria before moving to Juventus, where he won the Serie A title and the Champions League. Vialli joined Chelsea in 1996 and was named player manager following the sacking of Ruud Gullit in February 1998. He went on to lead the Blues to victory in the League Cup, UEFA Cup Winners' Cup, and UEFA Super Cup in the same year, and also guided Chelsea to victory in the 2000 FA Cup Final and the Community Shield, but was sacked early in the season after a poor start. Vanessa Brand took to Instagram on Monday, the 4th anniversary of Kobe's 60-point farewell game, to share some heart-wrenching thoughts about her late husband, who she said gave it his all for 20 years on the basketball court. The 37-year-old paid homage to her late husband in a recent Instagram post, writing, and I quote, "All he wanted was to spend time with our girls and me to make up for lost time. He wanted to be there for every single milestone and special moment in our girls' lives. He only got time to enjoy 3 years and 9 months of retirement." Also included in the post was a highlight video of that April 13, 2016 game, in which Brand dropped 60 points on the Utah Jazz. At the end of the video, Brand jokes to his family, embraces them, and walks out of Staples Center with them. Brand would go on to have 2 more daughters with Vanessa, win an Oscar, and release multiple books in retirement, before the 5-time NBA champion died in an helicopter crash in January that also killed his daughter Gianna. He's survived by his wife and 3 daughters, Natalia, Bianca, and Capri. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Jamaican world record holder Usain Bolt has posted a hilarious photo to his social media account showing everyone just what social distancing looks like. The 33-year-old lightheartedly included a photo of him crossing the finishing line way ahead of his opponents at what looks to be the government-recommended 6-foot distance people should keep from each other during these unprecedented times. In an incredible display of power running, the then 21-year-old obliterated his own world record, despite raising his arms in triumph well before he crossed the line in 9.69 seconds. In doing so, he set a new world and Olympic record. Bolt, at the same Summer Games, also won the men's 200-meter race, breaking the world and Olympic record again with a time of 19.30 seconds.
The 33-year-old has been encouraging Jamaicans to self-isolate during the coronavirus pandemic, posting videos of himself exercising at home and juggling footballs with a friend. That wraps up April 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mukbilia Barrow. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nesta, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.